Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, it's knowing me, Zach Thompson, knowing you, Jack Frimston, aha. And this video is what the people have asked for. They've been saying to us, react to this guy. Go to Ilford. React to this guy. He's sick, Dan. React, react, react. And your prayers have been answered. Today, we're going to be reacting to a guy with a very unusual second name. It's Gary Economics.
I think that might be Swedish, you know.
Is it Swedish?
Yeah. We've got another group chat where you and another friend do a lot of impressions of him. Sometimes I feel a bit weird doing an impression of Gary Economics because it feels like I'm doing an impression of myself, because Ilford wasn't too far away from where I grew up as a child.
And where did you grow up?
Chingford. Other foods are available.
Sorry, say it just in case people at home were struggling.
Chingford. It's sick, Dan. It's sick. I'm from Ilford. Ilford. See, that sounds like I'm just doing an impression of me, doesn't it?
What's your the plan then? Because I know this is going to be divisive, because people think, they either think he's a bad thing, or they think he's the saviour of Britain.
I mean, let's see where our where we fall naturally. I was a big, I'm going to say, I was actually like a fan before I consumed a lot of content. I actually liked him quite a lot.
How were you a fan before you saw any content?
Because I saw bits of content. I was like, oh yeah, he stands for a bit. And then after watching the full debate with Bartlett and Priestley, where I think he rose to meteoric fame in his industry for what he is, I think there's a few question marks. I don't think it's as easy to say as the answer is become an entrepreneur, but I think that there are also some questionable bits. But I'm sure there'll be some laughs, there'll be some tears, there'll be some big discussions.
When you say what he is, do you mean a banker?
He's a banker. He's a banker. I didn't want to say it. You know that we are. Right. Are you ready for the first one? I do like these reacting videos. It'd be great if you got the videos prepared 1 week. Just
no,
letting you know.
I will 1 week. Probably need a laptop to do that, but I will 1 week.
Okay. No worries. Obviously, I don't mind doing everything. This one is called Being Rich Made Me Unhappy. Okay?
Right.
Can you tell me to, can you like give me like a countdown or a play it or like...
All right, yeah, of course I can.
Get it, sucking a dick, bam. I was scared of shops. I didn't know how shops work. I'd never been in the shop. And then suddenly you get £500,000. You know, what do you do? Yeah, and then they see in the book where they say, buy something for your dad. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. You know, because like, I never bought anything for anyone. They're like, what does your dad like? I'm like, oh, he likes football. You can buy him Sky Sports then. I buy him Sky Sports. But what they didn't know was, before I was working at the bank, I used to go with my dad to Leyton Orient every week. But when I was working at the bank, I didn't have time for that anymore. I was so busy. And then they think that this money is like a path for me to bring happiness to my family. They don't realise that actually it's taking me away from my family. Mm-hmm. I would wake up on Saturdays and I'd see my dad watching the midday kickoff on Sky Sports, and it would make me so happy. I was scared of
Right. I don't know if I think whether you're really, really rich or really, really poor or somewhere in between, I think it's common knowledge that we all know what a shop is.
There's no one who could be poor enough in this country to not know what a shop is. You're getting really mixed up with what poor is and what knowing things are.
I know. And if the message is working loads and loads made me unhappy, okay, cool, I can get on board with that. But there is definitely like I'm going to lean into this character of let me pay the poor rich man.
Should have picked a shop, shouldn't he? If he was playing that back now, he'd probably gone, I should have said, I didn't know what Harrods was. That would have been like...
I didn't know what Selfridges was.
Yeah,
cool.
That would have gone under the radar, but you can't say I don't know what a shop is, can you? Because I think also he was like some sort of maths expert, wasn't he? So like, surely they go like, right, what's £2 divided by 2? You know, like, they ask very practical questions, don't they?
And obviously the idea of like, you don't get to a point in your career where you're a banker, but then you've not... You don't know what a shop is. And even the concept of buying something for somebody.
It's a bit geary, isn't it? It's a bit like something that you've been with and like, it's 4 a.m. and he's done a bit too many lines and he's like trapped in a bit of a loop.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I've got a point, and I do believe that you can have your bit, and you can. We say no one ever died from a cold call. Cold or calling's not dead. Whatever. Like you have a message, but then is that for clickbait or is that just for extreme? Because I don't think it was for clickbait. It was quite.
I think he knew what a shop was.
I think. Yeah. Is that, we'll go to the jury on this one. In the comments. If you think you knew what a shop was, let us know.
What have you got for me next?
Okay, this is. I mean, I know that you've seen this because we've had many a conversation about this.
He's sick. The search. This is. I can see it already.
The search is just poor people. Right, let's get into it. Gary Economics, what's your thoughts on poor people?
Tell your kids, can't afford to turn the heating on. I come from East London, okay? My friends can't feed their kids, okay? And if it was as simple as going out and being an entrepreneur, I can bet you they would do it. I can bet you they would do it. I'm sick of multi-billionaires telling kids who can't afford to turn the heat on, you just need to be more entrepreneurial. It's sick, Dan. It's sick. But this gives people mental illness. It gives people mental illness. Tell them the truth, okay? We, your older generation, we took the opportunities and now it's almost impossible to get out of poverty. Don't just stand up and wave, you know, your millions of pounds in front of them and say, if you were an entrepreneur like me, you could do it. You could have it. Because it's sick because they can't. They can't feed their kids, man. They can't turn the heating on. Don't tell them to be more entrepreneurial. Fix the system that drives more and more and more of them into poverty.
Zach Thompson,
every generation.
Over to you live in the studio.
There's a bias that I saw the other day, right, called... Fuck. What's it called? It was a really good one. I wanted to talk to you about it as well. Maybe like the bundling bias or something like that. It's basically when you and this is what happens with this debate, you bundle two quite complex ideas and for ease of understanding and conversation, you bundle them up and try and have like almost like oversimplistic arguments about them. And because you do that, it makes that loop happen. So basically that debate on Dairy CEO is that. It's two quite complicated ideas. You're trying to present them simply, and because you are, there's like really clear holes in them.
Yeah.
So even like the concept of like poor person, it's really complicated. How someone got to being poor is a multitude of ways. There's people who are poor because of disability. They're not the same as someone who's poor because of childhood trauma leading to like drug addiction or something like that. Like you can't kind of bundle those two things up. But in the same way, you probably then can't bundle up all poor people should be entrepreneurial. But I would equally challenge some people should be.
Yeah.
And I think some of the best entrepreneur stories are from backgrounds where it was quite hard and you had to take some risks and make some things happen. You don't really get people who are really entrepreneurial and disruptive who came from middle to upper class backgrounds only. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's a couple of dangerous things here. One is blanket bombing, let's put all poor people together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other one is let's say all poor people should start a business. It's much more nuanced idea than that.
Yeah, it's much more complex than that. I also think the whole East End thing is it feels like a bit of a gimmick, but like obviously we've met many, many people and many millionaires that actually just because you're from the East End, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're poor. If you own property in Shoreditch, the East End, do you know what I mean? Liverpool Street is where all the bankers work, which I know Gary's going to get into. I think of people like Alan Sugar from the East End, and I think of that characteristic of an East End person. My head goes Wheeler Dealer. Mm. Do you know what I mean? All the markets. That's the bread and butter of go back to the 1950s, that was entrepreneurial of we sell fruit and veg, we sell... You think of Del Boy, do you know what I mean? The East End and those kind of things. So I think it's just very... I think he knows what he knows, but I think that he, like we all do in life, I think it's a character and the character's narrative fits his own. Like, I truly want to know, like, what are you... Is it fame or is it fortune that you're trying to get to? Because... Probably isn't the fortune, but he knows that he's playing a certain kind of game.
I would agree with that. But
okay,
I'm excited to see where you take me next. He's never been to a shop was good.
Well, he's got a story here. This is Gary Stevenson on Traders' Weird Habits. Okay. So this is Lad Bible Stories, so you know that this is from poor people to millionaire habits.
I met this guy. He was a very wealthy guy. He went on to become an amazingly profitable trader. He had his own designated taxi driver who would drive him home every time he got too drunk. And his taxi driver told me one time that every time he gets too drunk outside the Bank of England, so he can go around the back of the Bank of England and take a picture of the Bank of England on the way home. And he's a hero. I met this guy.
He's a hero for taking a piss. Should we have a look at the comment? That is an incredibly low bar for the definition of hero. Well, I know what I'm doing next time in London. There's a dodgy Turkish barber around the back of the... charges £142 for a haircut. I mean, where'd your head go?
Well, actually, can I be honest with you? The video sort of was cutting out about my end. The story is... He was mates with a guy who had his own personal designated taxi driver. He used to do a little detour for him to the Bank of England so he could go around the back and piss on it on the way home.
Yeah, that's what he thought.
And he's like, that guy's my hero.
Like, that's his hero. Out of all the people in the world. Not his dad, who you couldn't buy a ticket to football for.
My mind goes to, like... I don't think this is going to go down well. You're just not here for a long time. You can't control the hand that you dealt. So do you just want to moan about it? Do you just want to moan about it and go, like, get all excited about some fucking posh rich boy going and piss on the Bank of England? Or do you just want to see that for what it is and go, who gives a fuck?
I also think, This might be wrong because maybe he is the people's hero because he's made it out. He's been there and he's come back. Do you know what I mean? But I also think, like, surely I'm kind of torn on this next point, but surely, like, he's not the poster boy. Do you know what I mean? Do we want to praise this millionaire who's been there, done it? I'd rather it be he's been there, he's lost it, and now he's back with the people.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's lived that life and now he's saying, well, this is what I've done. This is the story. I actually don't know if that's, like, is that inspirational enough? Like I definitely, listening to that debate with the Daniel Priestley, I was just like, oh, I think I'm, and obviously as entrepreneurs, I think that my bias leans towards it. But I thought when it was, like, debating, I was like, oh, I'm so Daniel Priestley. I think we are definitely in life. It might not be your fault, but it's your responsibility. So rather than, like, trying to change something that might be completely out of your control, not to say it isn't with the tax the rich and stuff like that, but, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? What's going to make my life better?
I think there are big, you know, we're from a poor seaside town and there are people who would have done well because they went to the private school and were in with the private kids world. There are people who should have done well and didn't because they probably made some wrong choices. And there were people who probably the cards were stacked against them. And then all those different types of roles, different kind of backgrounds could end up in that position of poor.
Mm.
Now then, presenting these, like, narratives to all of those people at once is not the same as going, actually, that you that had all the cards stacked against you, it's your kind of person that we need to be helping.
Yeah.
This guy's ended up poor because he couldn't fucking stop ordering cocaine and drinking all the time and gambling is not the same as the person who's grown up on the council estate with single parent who's really tried but just can't seem to break through, and then they've had to drop out of school a bit more to work, and that is totally different thing. I think that's the danger of just... But I get it. In the world that we live in now, you can't present a nuanced argument like that. And he probably is aware of this, Gary's economics. If he was presenting really nuanced arguments, how would any of those shorts go viral? None of them would.
Yeah. It'd be very easy to say who his audience is. You're probably going to say, right, they're Labour supporters, they're certain demographic. But actually, like you're saying there, of like, well, let's get into the real nitty-gritty of it. There's probably only a subsection of those that are actually his target audience that actually fit the bill of what he's trying to achieve because it's, like you say, it's too nuanced. Let's have another one, Gary Economics. He definitely, while I'm loading this up, give us your best Gary Economics impression.
Though. He's sick, Dan. He's sick. I grew up in Ilford, yeah? I grew up in Ilford. Listen. There you go. Was that good? He goes, listen.
That was really good.
I grew up in Ilford.
Listen.
People said sick, to me, people said Dan. To me, where's that accent from? I'm from East London. I don't even know my accent. I'm from Ilford.
Ilford's pretty much Essex as well, you know. Saying East London so like that. I'm pretty... don't fucking disrespect me.
When the Daily Mail attack me, what they're trying to do is make sure that you pay higher taxes and your family causes poverty and their billionaire owners don't have to pay tax. If the public can be convinced that I'm a dickhead, but I can finally go on holiday. But it's your family's. You know, I'm in a very, very fortunate situation here. I don't need to win. If we lose, I'll continue to be a rich guy. I'll get richer and richer. I don't need to win. The Daily Mail can attack me all they want.
I mean, that's kind of falling into everything we've been saying so far, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean...
What did he mean he could go on holiday if the Daily Mail thinks he's a dickhead?
Finally. The Daily Mail think I'm a dickhead, I can go on holiday. If the Daily Mail think you're a dickhead, that should be sick. I'd love for the Daily Mail to think I was a dickhead. They're all dickheads.
His whole thing is, like, obviously it's owned by wealth. So obviously they're, like, trying to cancel me before I cancel them.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think what they're trying to do is go, this guy's a bit ridiculous. Can we shine a light on him, maybe?
I think with his knowledge of finances, what's easy to do, teach people how to operate in an unfair system or totally change the entire system.
Mm.
But unfortunately, it wouldn't, he's a trader, isn't he? It wouldn't, him saying, here's how to rise up to the ranks and be a trader and win every maths competition you're in or something, it just isn't as palatable.
No.
Getting people angry surely there are about ways the system if... leads to big following.
Well, that's the thing. I was talking to a friend about this the other day that they were saying, do you know that there are Facebook groups and like people we don't necessarily know, but there other countries might be infiltrating Facebook groups and putting like rage bait, you know, that rage bait to get people mad.
That's been happening for
and
we ages.
Know that people, yeah, but I didn't really know about it, but we know how people react when they're angry and that's what he's trying to do, isn't he? He's trying to start a revolution. And the best way to do that is to rile people up.
Yeah.
If that includes some truths and some porkypies,
it's actually weirdly to do that. I mean, this episode's probably going to be get cancelled if you watch the whole thing. The type of argument is not dissimilar to the immigration argument.
Oh, go on.
Well, you're taking a very complicated subject and trying to package it up as nice and neat and tidy. So it's not like I'm against or for. Is it? It's like, well, it's really complex. Like, let's get in the weeds.
Yeah. It's, I'm not going to say any more because I might get cancelled. Right, let's have a short of him being really succinct with his point.
Okay.
If you're a trader and you're wrong all the time, you get paid £1 million. If you're a trader and you're wrong all the time, you get fired. If you're in the media and you're right, a year later, nobody remembers. And if you're in the media and you're wrong, a year later, nobody remembers. Now, the problem with this is it creates a situation where if you are a really good economist and keep making correct predictions, the media will not generally push you to the front. And if you are an economist who works in the media and you're bad, you make very bad predictions, nobody's ever going to call you out. So what this means is if you're a really good economist and you want to explain to people what's happening in the media, how do you do it? How does the media determine who gets the important jobs and who gets ignored? Well, if you don't have a system that actively finds the good people and actively discourages the bad people, basically you're going to end up with the people who know the right people getting into the best jobs.
So I've watched that a few times.
That's quite am I confused?
Well, I felt like an idiot when I watched it.
Can you explain it don't, to
me? Not really. The whole, if you're in the media and you get it right, people won't remember you, but if you get it wrong, people won't remember you. I also think that's false.
Yeah, so do I. Like, is he talking about only from an economic standpoint as well? But surely that's not true anyway. People still remember Jimmy Savile.
Yeah, he was wrong.
And he was in the media, and people still talk about him.
Yeah.
And so I think... they go, he was wrong, wasn't he? They don't go, it's over a year ago, mate, come on.
Yeah, forget about it. Oh, in fact, I've forgotten about him. Anyway, right, sound. Gary Economics, Immigration, Jimmy Savile. You're on a one-way ticket to getting absolutely cancelled.
What about Liz Truss's plan that totally fucked over the economy? Like, people still talk about that. That was over a year ago.
Is he talking about economists, though?
I don't know if he is. I don't, it's quite confusing.
But
again, I don't, there was that oversimplifying thing that we're going to be like, find the good people and the bad people. Like, it's just, it's overly simplified again. But it's a really complicated topic.
Which I understand what you're trying to do. He's trying to drive it into bite-sized chunks, but that maybe that's where some of the nuance is lost because he's trying to put it into 30, 60 seconds. But then I also think if you had to name another economist apart from Gary Economist, who's your second favourite economist?
Chris Tarrant.
Yeah. He always knew, didn't he? He always...
Would you like to go 50-50?
Some good impressions this episode. Right. Don't trade against me. You'll lose all your money. We've got time for a few more.
I get, you know, young men emailing me all the time telling me they've lost all their money. FX trading, crypto trading. And a lot of the time when they send me those emails, they say, but don't worry, I've figured it out now. And from here, I'm going to make money. And it's difficult to read those emails. Listen, trading is gambling.
Who's emailing him saying, I've lost all my money, but don't worry, Gary, I've figured it out. What's the point in that email? Which young boys are going, I've lost it all, but I've all solved it.
But I've figured it out. I agree. I don't agree with the way he's wearing that hat, but I do agree with that message. And actually, I've had a few young lads that have worked here who are really into day trading and stuff like that. It's just gambling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, be very, very careful.
I'm a day trader.
You're in it for the long run.
You should say to people when they say, oh, I do a bit of day trading. So, you do gambling?
Yeah. You like roulette, do you?
Yeah.
You like the slot machines?
But I don't know why you wear a hat like that.
No. Why did they used to call you Hat Thompson then?
I used to wear a hat that said zero on it. And I had this wrap that said zero on the hat, zero in the head. Ah, fuck it. He's amazing in bed.
And it was weird because you were 11. I didn't like when you did that.
I was 11. And I think I only meant sleep. I was just sick at sleeping. If my whoop was around back then, I'd wake up and be so arrested.
Your whoop score. But if you were, because it's your birthday today, we're at the time of recording. Obviously, if you were 11, that means that would have been 22 years ago.
Yeah.
But we've only been friends for three. Anyway.
Trading is gambling. If you go on iTrade and iGindex, which is a spread betting platform, it says there on the front page, like 75% of accounts lose money. I'm not losing money. And there's professionals on there like me that are not losing money. And there's an old saying, if you don't know who the idiot is at the poker table, you're the idiot. Listen, professional traders like me, if you go out, you're trading against me, you know, and it's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing for ordinary people to do.
I agree. It's a dangerous thing to do. I want to see how much is in his bank account, though.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
But that is actually what day traders sound a bit like that, though, don't they? Like, they always give it a bit of that, don't they? Like, yeah, a lot of these guys, they're idiots. Like, it's not the same as the way I'm doing it. Now, he has got, by the sound of it, millions in the bank, hasn't he? But that is also the way that people talk that don't have that much money as well.
Yeah, so it's very hard to distinguish the truth and the lies. Right, let's have a... I'll give you a choice. I've got him looking angry or I've got him back on the diary of a CEO. What one do you want?
Do the one you're drawn to. Trust your gut. Trust your heart. Go with your heart.
Okay, well, let's get him talking about why we should tax the rich, because we've not had much of that, have we? We've had a lot of his message, but, like, why should we tax the rich? I might learn something here.
I will agree 100%. It is difficult to tax rich people.
Yeah.
It is very, very, very difficult to tax rich people. I don't come here to tax rich people because I know it's hard. I know probably I'm going to lose. I know our viewers' kids will live in desperate poverty. I know that. I do this because it is hard. If we are a country which says to ourselves, we don't try and do things which are necessary to keep our kids out of poverty because they are hard, then our kids will live in poverty. I don't need to be here. I'm a multimillionaire, just like you. I could be in the Philippines drinking pina coladas. I come in here because I come from a poor background, and it's ordinary families like my family, like the kids I grew up with, whose kids are going to be in poverty. It's difficult, but it is necessary. Sometimes we have to do things not because they're easy, but because they are hard. That is what makes a rich country rich, and that is what protects ordinary people. Listen, our grandparents lived in poverty. Did they say, let's not change it because it's hard? No, they didn't. They fought and they demanded healthcare, education, housing, food, and they got it. They got it. That's why my parents could live a good quality life. They got those things. They got those things, and they were aware that in order to do that, you could not allow the super rich who have been living lives of luxury for hundreds and hundreds of years to eat everything while ordinary families couldn't afford to feed their kids. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. And I know I'm probably going to lose. I know that. I know I'm probably going to lose. And that means our viewers will be poor. I do it anyway because I do not want this country that I grew up in to fall into desperate poverty. Wow.
What a speech.
Passion.
Passion, definitely. It falls into a bit of scaremongering. And I'm not a fan of that at all, like in terms of like your kids will be poor. The bit... His dad worked in a post office. I don't know if you know this, but like, and he said there was a contradiction there of, well, our parents fought to have healthcare, da 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 da, but I grew up poor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's defining what is growing up poor then, because he also talks in an episode, I've seen something else where he talks about like his parents, his dad was able to own a house, but you would never be able to own a house. So surely if you're living, I do not disagree that there are poor people littered around London that are renting, living in bedsits, can't afford to keep the lights on, can't afford to eat.
I agree.
If you're a homeowner, would you be classed as poor?
No.
No. So that's where the contradictions seem to come in and a lot of scaremongering.
Yes, I would agree. I mean, if you live in the UK right now, you're probably aware everything feels quite expensive and does feel like you get... I mean, we're running a business. Everything about that business gets taxed relentlessly, doesn't it? And then you tax everything and then you're left with... You've paid a big business tax bill and like, there's a bit of personal tax I want from you now as well. And you're like, fucking how much tax? I bet every little thing's got tax attached to it. So I agree. The odds feel quite stacked against you to break out of the class that you're in. But it also doesn't mean that people don't do it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
It does, like many people have reacted to it and said their opinion. But I don't think it leaves me feeling fearful, which is probably like you need scared soldiers when you're about to overhaul something. Like I think that it doesn't leave me feeling motivated and fired up. And I've got to remember that I listen to it through my life and my ears, but like it doesn't make me think, oh, I can do that. Whereas I've listened to other Diary of a CEO episodes and Daniel Priest, who's thinking, fucking hell, yeah, he's got a good idea there. Yeah, I can do that. And like, we're here, we're building businesses, we're growing. It's not easy. It is hard, but it doesn't mean it's impossible. And that's one of the things I've always felt with business is if he was talking about like getting into acting or getting into singing, I think it's like you have got to know the right people. I think with entrepreneurship and business, it's a case of you can build your own table, you can drive supply and demand.
I wonder if the antidote to that message, so let's say him and Daniel Priestley are on the podcast again. Daniel Priestley being able to show, here's how quickly you could start a business. And how quickly you could be making your money. Like I'll just guide you through it. And hey, listen, Gary, You give me the feedback on if this is feasible or not for people. I'll do it with you need an internet connection. Like we'll agree that you need an internet connection, and give some. But that's where the antidote. Arguing like real big picture points. Like it's so big. There's always going to be a hole in it that you can take apart. But being like, well, let's take that. Here's how you might be able to solve it.
Mm.
here's a little business idea. You don't even have to leave your job to do it. Get that started. There's an extra, hopefully an extra few hundred quid a month out of it. And then let's build from there. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work and I'm wrong.
And that's where the hunger comes in and that drive of like you said, we should look into it, but like I think 81% of entrepreneurs have had some sort of like crappy sales job, door to door, cold calling, something like that to get successful. 81%. So I know that that's showing that they're resilient because they've faced adversity. So then I'm thinking, well, if you're growing up poor and you're facing adversity and you're listening to a message that actually people have been there, done it and come out the other end, well, that should leave you inspired, not scared.
You know, I saw something that said 81% of entrepreneurs are called Jeff.
No.
Is that true?
I don't think so. But I did see something, 81% of entrepreneurs are under 5'11". So that's a lovely note to leave the podcast on. So, right. Zach, you probably aren't going to be as successful as me because you're 5'12".
No, I'm not. There's no such thing. Right. Here's the task this week. You've got to this point, comment on the bottom and say, I got to the end. And then the first person at the top there, I'm going to be in touch with them with a prize.
That's what you get. That's the prize. A big cough. Let us know who you want us to react to next, because people suggested Gary Economics. And I'm going to go get my guy a glass of water. Thanks, take care, guys. Cheers. See you next time.